All right, beloved, if you got your place there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 20 and 21. If you have your places there, please say amen. That sounds good, church. If you're physically able to stand, let's stand together in reverence to God's Word. Let's read these two verses together. The Bible says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, we thank you for the hymns of the faith, Father, that we've heard sung and that we have sung. Lord, we just ask that you'll just have charge of this service, Lord, and the furtherance that your kingdom may be, that it may be furthered, and your name, Father, may be glorified inside of our hearts and lives. So, Lord, again we pray that, Father, that I just ask that you'll hide me behind the cross. Put your words in my mouth, you'd have me to speak. And, Lord, if there be one here today that ain't saved, Lord, we pray today, Father, that you'll save them out of a devil's hell. And, Lord, also, if there be one here that needs to make any kind of decision, we pray, Father, that you'll allow them to make that decision today. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm getting a drop on the people who would oppose the Word of God, because next weekend is going to be something that some of them are going to observe, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But anyway, let me give you my introduction here. Many today are going wild over the Super Bowl. Yes, for the first time in 13 years, our Carolina Panthers is in the Super Bowl. The year after their defeat, which would have been in 2004, the late player and coach Sam Mills gave an emotional speech to the team prior to their playoff game versus the Dallas Cowboys, January 2nd, 2004. He spoke about commitment, dedication to teammates, team effort, and never giving up. Mills asked the players of the Carolina Panthers to keep pounding. While the Panthers will keep pounding, no doubt, that's no reason to skip church or to lay out on God. Because God needs His people to keep pounding. Amen. He needs us to have some commitment to Him. He wants us to be dedicated to Him and to our family, the family of God. He wants us to join this team effort with the Holy Ghost to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He wants you and I never to give up. See, while a lot of Christians and church folks pound when they first got saved, or when they're at revival, soon after they cool off and they begin to tiptoe around others, afraid of offending them or upsetting the apple cart. Well, our enemy, the devil, I will remind you, he sure is out there pounding away, isn't he? He's pounding away at them, he's pounding away at us with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And within that flesh, guys, he's got three allies. He's got the lust of the flesh, he's got the lust of our eyes, and he's got the wicked, deceitful pride of life, which is a proud heart, from whence comes that pride. But, beloved, I will remind you this morning in 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, his devices are anything that he has at his hand and his potential. So I'm here to remind you, beloved, that one of the devices that our enemy uses is lies and propaganda. So I'm hitting the ground running, guys, this week, a week early, because I want you and our people here at Danieltown to be ready. For consider, February 12th is not only Abraham Lincoln's birthday, but also it is the birthday of Charles Darwin. And from February 12th to the 14th, which to most of us is Valentine's Day, that will be Darwin Weekend or Evolution Weekend. And while so many so-called scientific museums and eggheads will celebrate Charles Darwin's 209th birthday, born in 1809, on Sunday, February 14th, many churches will observe either Darwin Sunday or Evolution Sunday. I have here in my hand a letter that has right now been signed and endorsed
by at least 432 pastors and their respective churches in the great state of North Carolina. Most of them are Methodists, some Presbyterians, some Universalists, a few Baptists. You say, what does this letter say? Please note, I'm reading this for your information. I am not endorsing this letter, and this church will never endorse this letter as long as I'm your pastor. He said, the clergy letter from American Christian Clergy, an open letter concerning religion and science. They say, within the community of Christian believers, there are areas of dispute and disagreement, including the proper way to interpret Holy Scripture. While virtually all Christians take the Bible seriously and hold it to be authoritative in matters of faith and practice, the overwhelming majority do not read the Bible literally, as they would a science textbook. Many of the beloved stories found in the Bible, the creation, Adam and Eve, Noah and the ark, convey timeless truths about God, human beings, and their proper relationship between Creator and creation expressed in the only form capable of transmitting these truths from generation to generation. Religious truth is of a different order from scientific truth. Its purpose is not to convey scientific information, but to transform hearts. We, the undersigned Christian clergy from many different traditions, believe that the timeless truths of the Bible and the discoveries of modern science may comfortably coexist. We believe that the theory of evolution is a foundational scientific truth, one that has stood up to rigorous scrutiny and upon which much of human knowledge and achievement rests. To reject this truth or to treat it as one theory among others is to deliberately embrace scientific ignorance and transmit such ignorance to our children. We believe that God's good gifts are human minds capable of critical thought, and that the failure to fully employ this gift is a rejection of the will of our Creator. To argue that God's loving plan of salvation for humanity precludes the full employment of the God-given faculty of reason is to attempt to limit God, an act of hubris. We urge school board members to preserve the integrity of the science curriculum by affirming the teaching of the theory of evolution as a core component of human knowledge. We ask that science remain science and that religion remain religion, two very different but complementary forms of truth. To that, this is what Creighton Lee Loveless and Danieltown Baptist Church say to this letter and to that hogwash that they are promulgating to our people and to people out there today. That's what I think about that. No, I don't litter in church, but anyway. All right, so that's what they're doing. The closest churches I've found espousing some of this, there are about three in Shelby, and there's a whole hub of them in Charlotte. Those are the closest ones. I looked and looked and looked for about 3 hours trying to find any in Rutherford County, and praise God, I did not see any, and I hope we never see any. But anyway, you see, folks, Darwin, let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Darwin. You may be surprised. See, he wanted to be a preacher, believe it or not. He wanted to go into the ministry, and he had a hobby, and that was collecting bugs and going out looking at nature. So he liked nature, but he liked God, believe it or not. So when he was at age 19 in 1828, he was enrolled already at Cambridge University in England. And he was delighted when he read a book that was by William Paley. He wrote it in 1794. It was called Evidences of Christianity. So what Paley did was he looked in nature and he said, you see this and you see that and you see that. He said, that shows that there is a God. And Darwin said he read that book and he loved it because it brought two of his loves together, nature and God. And he could look in nature and see God there. In his final examination, January 1831, Darwin did well, coming 10th out of 178 candidates for the ordinary degree in theology. Darwin had to stay at Cambridge until June 1831. He studied Paley's Natural Theology, or Evidences of the Existence and Attributes of the Deity, first published in 1802, which made an argument for divine design, today we would call that intelligent design, in nature, explaining adaptation as God acting through laws of nature. Then he read John Herschel, that's the son of William Herschel who discovered the planet Uranus. He read Herschel's book, Preliminary Discourse on the Study of Natural Philosophy, 1831. which described the highest aim of natural philosophy as understanding such law through inductive reasoning based on observation. And then he read Alexander von Humboldt's personal narrative of scientific travels from 1799 to 1804. He was so touched by that, he had a burning zeal to go out there and do something to contribute to this exploration in nature. So what did he do? Well, he decided to get on board a ship. December 27, 1831, he boarded a ship called, known to many of you, the HMS Beagle, going down to the Galapagos Islands, where he would study finches and study their beaks. Well, on that voyage, he made friends with the captain, Robert Fitzroy. And when Fitzroy saw the lad's interest in nature, he had a book. And that book was called The Principles of Geology by Charles Lyell. Now, guys, Charles Lyell was influenced by James Hutton's theory that the earth and the universe are far older than the biblical thousands of years. And thus, what did Lyell do? Lyell set out to bring others over to his side. And when he did that, he established what scientists today call uniformitarianism. And uniformitarianism, believe it or not, it is actually found in the Bible, but it is found in the negative. You say, what in the world does that big, long, fancy word mean? It means that everything has kept happening the way it has happened since the beginning. Okay? That's what Hutton proposed. That when you see something, he said that it happened the same way that you see it happening now. All right? Now, what does the Bible say? Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter 3:3-5. He says this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Now what's the word scoffers mean? It means a mocker. It means fun. It means somebody who makes ridicule of or mockery of. He says scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, listen, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So see, there's uniformitarianism. The scoffers are going to be the ones telling that to a world out there. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. In the Greek, you know what that means? Dumb on purpose. What are they ignorant of? They're ignorant of the natural creation, number one. And then number two, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And then later you read about how that world was overflowed by that water. And so the second thing they are purposely ignorant of is the flood. So here's the thing, guys. So influenced was Darwin by that one book. That one book. He had already read three previously about seeing the hand of God at work in nature. But he read that one book, Principles of Geology by Charles Lyell, and he tossed his faith out the window, and he tossed everything that he had read, everything that he had learned. He threw away his degree in theology, and he threw away that desire to be a preacher. And he said, oh, I'm going to study more about nature. And the more he got into nature, the farther away he got from nature's God. And when he saw those finches and those beaks and of those birds, he finally would later go through and begin to study and write about a theory he would produce. Well, he didn't produce it. He tweaked it. And that theory would become known as evolution. And in 1859, he published the book called The Origin of Species. Or, I don't have the book with me. It's in our collection back there. But it says, or the preservation of the favored races. Nobody ever tells you about that, that Darwin was a racist. And that book, The Origin of Species, had influenced millions upon millions of people. Matter of fact, there was another young man who was studying to go into the ministry. And this man lived in Russia. And as he was studying the ministry, this is right before the Bolshevik Revolution happened, this young man had got a hold of The Origin of Species, and he was so influenced by what Darwin wrote about everybody coming from a monkey that he threw away his ministerial studies and his theological studies, and he went into communism, socialism, and that man is Joseph Stalin. And Joseph Stalin, guys, murdered anywhere from 60 to a million of his own people. Why? Because
of the survival of the fittest in evolution. So one book can influence people for good or for bad. And you know, this book here, the Bible, should be influencing us. But too many times we don't make the time for this one book that we need. Do you realize that it has been said that the average American spends in 1 year 1,539 hours watching TV? And do you know that if you would take the average time of reading a book and extrapolate that into those 1,539 hours, that you can have read the Bible through cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, 22 times? What do we have as priority, guys? So do books and culture matter? Yes, they do. Consider this, guys, the disturbing statistic that, listen, 85% of youth raised in church, I didn't say youth period, I said youth raised in churches, Bible-believing churches, 85% of our youth, it is said today, will lose their faith in the first year of college. Why? Because we are not grounding our children in the truth of the Word of God. And we're going along with outright heresy in the public propaganda, public school system. That means, beloved, this, that if a church were to have a youth group of 60 youth, most people would say that's pretty good. But if these statistics hold, that would mean that if you have a church youth group of 60 now, within 10 years, you'll have 9 who will have remained with the faith. Is it then any wonder that some 80% of our American churches are stagnant? That means they're not growing. Is it any wonder, guys, that regardless of what denomination they are, 3,500 to 4,000 churches a year in America shut their doors and close down for good? No, folks, things are not good for most churches out there in our world today. Why? Because too many are too concerned with anything and everything but God, His will, and His Word. You say, well, that can't happen here. Let me ask Miss Peggy a question. Do you remember a young lady by the name of Amanda Tate who used to attend church here? All right. She's now known as Amanda Dodds. I received this letter from her last year. To whom it may concern, October 20th, 2015. My name is Amanda Dodds and I was baptized when I was 12 years of age at your church when Guy Johnson was pastor there. My name was Amanda Taylor at that time. I am writing this letter to inform you that I no longer want to be associated with your church or the Baptist faith because I have decided to become a Jehovah's Witness and would prefer to be associated with the Jehovah's Witness organization. So that means, according to this, that Amanda Dodd now believes in evolution because this is the stated beliefs of the Jehovah's Witness organization, which says that the length of the 6 days of creation, some creationists assert that the 6 days of creation were literal 24-hour days, but the word day in the Bible can refer to a considerable length of time, age of the earth. They say that the universe and the earth existed before the 6 days of creation, Genesis 1:1. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, in addition to believing that Jesus Christ is the first thing Jehovah created. And they also believe that when Jesus died, God the Father destroyed His body, and then Jesus came back as Michael the Archangel. And that Jesus was crucified on a stake, not a cross. So that's what Amanda Dodds now believes. I'm not saying Brother Guy did that. I'm not saying this church did that. But I am saying that this young woman who came to this church, in her own decision, in her own way, even though she came to church, she did not what? Lock down and root and ground herself in the truth of this Bible for some reason. I don't know why. But she has left the Baptist interpretation of Scripture and she is now linked up with a cult. So don't
deceive yourself into thinking, well, my family goes to church, my children are in church, I'm in church, and that means I'm okay. Don't be deceived by the wiles of the devil. You can be here, guys, every time the doors are open, but if you're not, if your mind and your heart is not here, if you're just occupying faith, it's not going in, it's going in one ear and out the other. And it's not going to do you a bit of good.
So she believes now in evolution. So, beloved, it is with a renewed devotion that we ensure that you here have the ability, more than anyone else, to learn the Word of God, as much of the Word of God as you want to. But to do that, guys, you and I have got to what? We've got to keep pounding. So point number one, keep pounding the Word into your own head. Pound it in. It is your duty. Notice that back in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Notice what Paul started off with right there. He said, O Timothy. What? That's personal. He didn't say, O Sunday school teacher. He didn't say, O pastor. He didn't say necessarily, O mom and daddy. He said, O Timothy. That means it's your responsibility. It's your duty. Because you know what, guys? A lot of people out there, when they start thinking, they start wondering the four basic questions of the human race. They begin to wonder, who am I? Well, if you accept evolution, if evolution is real, then you're nothing. You're just a piece of protoplasm that washed up on the beach. And the evolutionists, I like to call them evil lulus, they actually believe that we're part of the problem. Because we're the ones polluting the earth. Anyway, the next question people would like to say is, where did I come from? Well, if you trust the evolutionists, they're going to say, well, you come from a cosmic birth about 20 million billion years ago. Then we wonder, why am I here? Well, the evolutionists say, well, you're here for no reason. Just do what you want to. There's no standards. There's no absolute. There's no right. There's no wrong. If it feels good, do it. And then the question comes is, where am I going when I die? Well, you just go to the ground, the evolutionists say. There's no afterlife. There's no nothing. You just live it up, then you die. You know the Epicureans said that. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And you know what, guys? All those answers that the evolutionists give, they are contrary to what this Word of God says, every one of them. But you see, folks, some people, though, they don't want the Word of God. I mean, look at what verse 21 says right there. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. It's easy to profess. It's easy just to rattle off a bunch of words. But if you don't believe those words, in other words, if you don't possess those words, if they don't become a part of your worldview, of your thinking, of your mindset, it ain't going to do you a bit of good. You can say all day long you believe the Bible, you believe Jesus, you believe this, that, and the other that the Word of God said. But if you don't truly believe that and own that as your own, you're just a professor. And God doesn't want more professors. He wants more possessors. You see, it's easy to say, but it's harder to live. You know, I laugh when people point at me and they said, well, you can't trust that Bible. Don't you know that those are just the words of men? You say they're the words of God. I look at them holding their signed textbook and I say, okay, well, if that's your book, then pray tell me who wrote your book. If you tell me I can't believe the Bible because it's just the words of man, well, then why are you saying you can believe signed book, which are just the words of man? Guys, you've got to keep pounding that truth into your head. Each Sunday and each Wednesday, guys, that's what I, as your pastor for almost 12 years, have been trying to do, is pound the truth in your head and into your heart. But only you can let that happen. I can put the nail inside the ear and drive it in, but only you can take it and pound it into your heart. But you see, you and I can only do so much here. Consider this. Sometimes we can only make it for 1 hour of church, sometimes 2 hours, sometimes 4 hours, sometimes all the hours the doors of the church are open. But think about this. What if you could stay awake for, say, 3 days straight? I know you'd be pretty tired after that. But let's just imagine if you could stay awake for, let's say, 72 hours. Not go to sleep at night, just stay awake all day, all night for 3 days, okay? Well, go with me here on this. Consider,
If you could come to church just 1 hour a week, only one, if you only do anything for God and His Word, and that's the only time you ever have the Bible, is let's just say 1 hour a week. So let's say there's 52 weeks in a year. You compile all that together. You miss everything in there. Then what we could do is if you could stay up for about 2 days and 12 hours straight, you would have all the time you would have spent in church for 1 hour each week for 2 days. Let that sink in. If we're only giving God the time of day for 1 hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe even 4 hours, consider the next thing. Look at our children. They spend about 6 to 7 hours a week, that's 20 hours, in school. And then we let God have them for what? Sunday school? And morning worship? Do they get any God at home? Or is it the PlayStation, the Xbox, and computer for 6 hours a day after that? What about you and I? What about you and me? What about mom and dad? 10, 12 hours a day at work. 40, 50, 60 hours a week at work. Then you're tired. You need a break. It takes a lot to drag yourself to God's house on your time off from work. But don't you see, beloved? If we don't keep pounding that truth, that Word of God into our head while we're not at church, the world is going to win every single time. Because looking at the amount of truth we have versus what the propaganda we hear out there on the TV, on the computer, and in the school system, the amount of time there is a whole lot larger than it is compared to what we have here and spending there in that Word. Is it any wonder people are walking around in churches believing in the lies of evolution and the lies of the devil than we are clinging to the truth of the Word of God? No wonder why sometimes I cram so much into these messages. Because we're in a war. If you don't want to fight, then carry bullets. Do something for the Lord. I'm trying to help get you the truth out there so you can take it and do something with it. Number two, keep pounding the Word into your own heart. Listen to what James 1:22 says. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Remember 1 Timothy 6:20 here. Look what he said. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. What does the word keep mean? It means to guard. Guard what? That which is committed to thy trust. What is that? Well, it could be many things. Time, talents, gifts, money, ability, the gospel, the Word of God. It is not enough for you to come to church and just sit and listen. You've got to come and listen and absorb it and then take it out and do something with it. I mean, think about it. If you're going to eat chicken wings tonight, and tacos or whatever else it is, if you're going to eat your chips and stuff, then, or even after church, when you go eat, whatever you eat, guys, some of that is going to be absorbed by your body. Some of it's going to be dung. But a lot of it, your body's going to get nutrients and energy out of it. And guys, it's the same thing with the Word. What you eat and digest in this Word is going to become spiritual energy for you. And that's why, guys, the more of this you get, and the more of this you get, oh, glory, you just get the can't help it. You get excitable. So eat the Word of God. Number three, keep pounding the wrong out of your life. So number one, remember what we said first of all. We noted, number one, keep pounding the Word into your own head. Pound it in. Number two, keep pounding the Word into your own heart. Number three, keep pounding the wrong out of your life. You see, too many of us, as he says there in verse 20, we have believed science falsely so called. Too many pastors go along with quote unquote science when it is not science, but rather it is lies and religion. You see, beloved, true science supports the biblical account. Otherwise, it is profane and vain babblings and opposition of science, falsely so called. Alright, let's get our youth up here. Let's get Max and Brian and the young man who came, and then Miss Whitney too. And then also, we'll give one for Miss Tara. And then we'll give one for Miss Rhonda and Chris back there. And for you too, young man, you come on up too. There you go. That's for BB. If he can. All right. I want to make a presentation to our youth. These, you may not be in science or evolution or whatever, biology now, but you hang on to these because these can be used in public schools whenever the teachers begin to go over biology. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. Whenever they begin to go over biology and other such topics like that, you can use this in like a Q&A format. You can be the student that they dread to call upon. Just like me in biology and U.S. history, my teacher did not want to call on Mr. Loveland because I was always bucking what he was saying. And I'll even go as far to say this, that if you are being subject to evolution in biology, you can request to be exempt from that session because it goes against your religious belief. You have any bucking of the school system out of that, you come to me. And I will go down and I will talk to the Board of Education on your behalf. Because we have rights as Christians. If the Muslim can say, well, I don't want to eat pork. If the Jews can say, I don't want to eat pork. We can say, I don't want to hear your lies of propaganda because I know I didn't come from no monkey. Don't let them win and cram this stuff down your throat. Because how many people are losing their faith because they've been fed this hogwash? I mean, they say, how old's the earth? Well, let me give you what the scientists have said. In 1770, George Buffon said the earth and the universe was 70,000 years old. In 1905, they said the earth was 2 billion years old. In July 20th, 1969, the Minneapolis Tribune said the earth was 3.5 billion years old, and today they say the earth is 4.6 billion years ago. That's all from scientists, that's all from science textbooks. So at that rate, guys, science has set the date many times over, and thus in the last 220 years, the earth is aging 21 million years per year, or 40 years per minute. And that's come from the scientists. They don't know how old the earth is. They claim to know, but they don't know. And so what do? They look inside the dirt and they say, well, you pulled out a rib from the Mesozoic era. You say, well, how do you know that the rib came from the Mesozoic era? Because the level of dirt, I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute. The stratification, they say, well, the bone dates the dirt. All right? Well, then you walk down to the skeleton or whatever. So they say the bone dates the dirt. Well, then you ask about this, and you say, well, how did you know this? Well, because we found that bone there because the dirt dates the bone. Wait a minute. A minute ago, you said the dirt dates the bone, and now you're going to say the bone dates the dirt. That's circular reasoning. That's communist. That's socialist. You see, communist and socialistic reason is also found in this. When you open up your school textbook, and it says, how many millions of years ago did man evolve? Wait a minute. That's got a built-in answer. Let's rather ask the question, did man evolve? Is the earth millions of years old? See, they're ingrating this stuff in, and since they appear in white lab coats, and because they got these degrees a mile long behind their name, everybody says they're right. You see, here's the thing. If you ask an evolutionist what they believe, they're going to tell you this whole long, big old story. But they don't even know half the time what they believe. Now I'm going to give you what the evolutionists believe. Talking about the solar system. They believe the solar system came about 4.6 billion years ago from a supernova or from a nebulous, dirt, dusty cloud. They believe that dirt, dusty cloud, now catch this, guys, you're going to learn a little something today that you don't learn in school. The nebula, dusty cloud compact in upon itself into a dot. It squished into a little bitty dot, and then the dot began spinning. As it all began to spin around, it spun around, spun around, spun around, spun around, and then it collapsed upon itself, and it, boom, it exploded. All right, now here's the thing. if that were to happen. Anybody in here have a digital watch? Okay, well, if that be the case, you may not know what clockwise is. Ha ha, okay, anyway. Right, so, yeah. Let's say the spinning disc was moving clockwise. And so as it goes around, then it explodes. Well, there's going to be a principle of sign. It's called the conservation of angular momentum. You see, if I was to take Brian here and to swing him around like this and then let him fly, he will spin around the same way that I've gone. Okay. Woo! So, that's a principle because the energy is going to be conserved as it flies off of something that's spinning. Well, here's the problem. When they say that the thing was spinning and then it exploded, then the sun formed and then the protoplanets formed, well, there's a problem because you look at Venus and look at Uranus, the planet, and then you look at Pluto. All three of those are rotating backwards compared to all the other planets in the solar system. That means those three, something happened. I'll tell you what happened. God got this one spinning and that one spinning and that one spinning, and then He turned those other three backwards to make the Big Bang and the nebula hypothesis theory look stupid. All right, now here's the thing they say then. That the protoplanet of Earth, that the hot molten magma lava began to cool down. And then as it did, it began to rain. And so it rained and rained and rained and rained upon the rocks. And then the rain and the rocks, over millions of years, mind you, but they can't believe in a flood. And the flood rained for 40 days and 40 nights over the whole world. They say, well, it didn't happen. Yeah, you believe in a flood that happened over millions of years? And so anyway, the rocks and the rain, it turned into primordial soup. So if you go out and you walk on the dirt road, be careful, are you stepping on Grandpa? And I love the next part. They say something, lightning bolt, a comet, meteor, whatever it was. Wait a minute, I thought we were talking about science here. Something we can test, something we can put in a laboratory and reproduce it. Nobody can reproduce the Big Bang. Nobody can reproduce this mess that they're talking about. Anyway, this is what the evolutionists said. And so they say the primordial soup, something hit it and there suddenly got amino acid. And then the primordial soup turned into a complex chemical bubbling broth of complex chemicals wherein life happened. And then the life happened and turned into an amoeba. And then the amoeba found somebody to marry. And then the amoebas had this and then they had that. And then suddenly out comes a frog. And then the frog suddenly turned into this, and then this turns into that, and that turns into a dog, and then the dog turns into a monkey, and then the monkey turns into a man, and then now we have us. Last time I heard about a frog turning into a man, they kissed the frog and it turned into a prince. I thought that was a fairy tale. But the Evolulus are saying, no, that's science. You just sprinkle time. Yeah. So you believe in the beginning rock, primordial soup, or really dirt. And I believe in the beginning God. I told this to one of my friends I graduated high school with, and he said, no, that's not what we believe. I said, then what do you believe? Well, we come from primates. I said, go back beyond that. Go way, 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 way back to the beginning. We don't know what happened. We think we know what happened. So you're telling me you're not going to believe what a man wrote down 2,000 years ago, but you're going to be willing to believe a man in a white lab coat who lived in 2015 saying what he believes happened 4.6 billion years ago? And he wasn't even there? Yeah. Oh, that makes perfect sense. Well, see, they look at Grand Canyon. Oh, get in there. They look at Grand Canyon and they say, my, that happened millions and millions of years. Why? Because of uniformitarianism. Well, let's do a science experiment, shall we, boys? All right, this is dirt. This is good old Rutherford County dirt. Mud. I might have some strands in there. They make it better. All right, so we put the dirt in the jar. I'm going to shake it up. I mean, shake it now. Shake it good. I mean, shake it. Come on. Shake it like there's no tomorrow. Shake it back and forth, up and down. There you go. Okay, let him do it. All right, we need more. All right, shake it some more. Put that in. There you go. All right, let him do it now. Yeah, shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up. There you go. All right, so now, you shake this bad boy up, and you set her down. It's mud. But, I did this yesterday afternoon about 6 o'clock, and it's been sitting here at the church all evening. I'm looking at it right there. Do you see layers? There's one, and there's water, right? You see layers there? That did not take millions of years. That took a few hours. Don't tell me, well, that Grand Canyon took millions and millions of... No. That's uniformitarianism. By the way, the Colorado River did not carve that canyon out. It's going the wrong way for it to. They will not tell you about the Kaibab uplift and the direction that river is going. What happened is you go back to the start of that, and it's a mud flow. Whenever the flood happened, the flood beat down, up and down, and the sediments kicked up all over the whole world. And as it's kicked up, and suddenly, when the waters assuaged and the water began to go down, suddenly it got backlogged, because that's when the mountain and the valleys were formed, according to Psalm 104. And then suddenly the mud there got weak, and it went out. And then here comes all this water among this sediment that had just settled down, and it carved out, probably in a matter of hours, the Grand Canyon. Bless you. People say, what about redshift? Redshift, that says, well, the Big Bang happened, boosh, and everything's spreading out, because astronomers say they see redshift. Well, let me tell you something here. Redshift means... Let me put it in a way we can understand it. You see, when I look at a star, the light spectrum, the color spectrum, is either going to be all big blue or all big red. If it's blue, that means the light's coming towards it. If it's red, it means the light's going away. And primarily, all the stars out there have red shift, which means the stars are slowly moving away from us. Okay? Now, having said that, it's kind of like the Doppler effect. It's like whenever you hear a siren. Okay? So now, if they listened well, my sad siren is being compressed in, the audio wave, and then as I go by them, the audio waves are being stretched out. Alright, so the compressed in light waves is blue or it's red. And so here's the thing. People say, well, that proves the Big Bang because the lights move, the stars are moving away from us. No, no, no. Listen to what Isaiah 45:12 said. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hand, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. There ain't no Big Bang. It's God stretching the heavens out. If He's stretching the heavens out, there goes the stars too. And people believe scientists, man over this. And you know when they start? Right here. Fossils, that's right. What does that say? I can read about fossils. I looked it up. This is H3 up. H3 and up. All right, Joe. Read the first sentence here. Loud and clear so everybody can hear.
Millions and millions of years ago, giant reptiles called dinosaurs the earth. Dinosaurs ruled the earth.
Alright. First words out of the gate. Millions and millions of years ago. And then, they talk about, later, there are no dinosaurs living on earth today. No one has ever seen a dinosaur. For sake of time, I'll give you this. Go in and read Job 38, 39, 40, 41. And God tells Job, "Behold, behemoth, whom I made with thee." I don't care what your notes say. It is not a hippopotamus. It is not a giraffe. It is not an elephant. It's a dinosaur. How many of you have ever heard of Loch Ness Monster? I think it exists. I think it's a plesiosaurus. They talked about the missionaries that had been over to the Congo in Africa. And one missionary was reading about dinosaurs to his children because he's homeschooling them. They came upon an apatosaurus. Otherwise, some of us learned that as the brontosaurus back when we were in school. Remember the long neck? Well, right when he turned that page, the natives began getting excitable. And they started pointing at it, saying words. And they said, "What is that word you're saying?" And they said, "That's Mokaliomimbe, Mokaliomimbe." And they said, "What in the world is that? I never learned that word." And what is Mokaliomimbe? And they pointed at the brontosaurus and they said, "That thing lived in the jungle." And they went out there and they got these sound recordings. They can't ever catch the thing because it generally moves at night and it lives inside of the swamp. So more than likely there's a brontosaurus alive in the Congo. In the 1880s out in Texas, some cowboys shot down this thing that flew. They cut off part of its wing. They looked at it. A pterodactyl. The Indians out there talk about the phoenix. The firebird. Look at the way they draw it. It's a pterodactyl. Remember dragons? King George, Prince George and the dragons and all that. Marco Polo said that the king of China kept dragons for pulling his chariots and races. Those dragons were dinosaurs. Don't tell me. No one has ever seen a living dinosaur. Did he ask Adam and Eve? Did he ask Job? Did he ask the natives over in the Congo? No, they didn't. I mean, years ago, I think it was back in the 70s, they found the coelacanth, the armor-plated fish off the coast of Madagascar. And the scientists said, "Oh, look, this fish has survived for millions of years." Really? No. It's been alive that long. Your stupid theory, it believes in millions and millions of years. How about this from Carl Sagan. He said in his book, Comets, about the Oort cloud. Now listen, he was a scientist through and through. He didn't believe God, he didn't believe the Bible. He said, "Yet there is not a shred of direct observational evidence for its existence. We are not yet able to poke around in the Oort cloud. But yet astronomers and scientists say that comets exist because of the Oort cloud. They say the Oort cloud is 50,000 astronomical units away from the Earth. An astronomical unit is the distance from here to the sun, about 93 million miles. And at best, we can barely see about 100 AU. And yet, they're saying that the Oort cloud exists 50,000 astronomical units away. Guys, they can't even see that far. And yet, they're saying it exists. Last time I checked, guys, Sister Peggy, what we can't see and what we can't prove, but yet we believe, that's called faith. But yet they're pawning this stuff off as science. How about this? One other thing I thought about. How many of you are familiar with Alka-Seltzer? You know, blah, blah, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think you'd hear that today. Okay. So now let's take Alka-Seltzer and it's fizzing up. And now let's freeze it. Boom, flash freeze. Immediately freeze it right there. And you could freeze those little bubbles. All right, now they found out, this is granite right there, granite rock. They found out through electron microscope, they found something called a polonium halo. Got a picture of one right there. That little yaller looking thing. Now those polonium halos only are supposed to exist for a fraction of a second. But they found these things preserved all over inside granite rocks. And they began to wonder why. The creationist scientists looked at it and said, "You know why? Because that granite rock appeared. It appeared and the polonium halo were frozen." He said, "That's the only way you can say it, that that rock instantaneously appeared." But yet we're taught in earth science and evolution that these rocks are from the igneous rocks and that it took millions of years for the for the rocks and the sediment to ooze out and then to cool and to sedimentize. That's not the observation of science, guys.
So, one more thing, and then I'll shut her down here so we can have our quick business conference.
Sirius,
the Hertzsprung-Russell star sequence chart.
They talk about how stars turn into red giants or white dwarfs or, like our own sun, a main sequence yellow star. And they say that stars, they go up or down along that scale of color and size for millions and millions of years. But yet we have direct evidence from the Chinese, from the Egyptians, from Seneca, from Ptolemy, that they all said, Cicero in 50 B.C., the Egyptians in 2000 B.C., over and over and over, they said that the brightest star we call Sirius in the night sky, they said it was a red star. But yet now it's a white-blue star. That's not millions and millions of years. There's another star that they have observed that has even changed colors, guys, 3 times in 50 years. And that's recently, since the 1970s. Don't tell me that these stars take millions of years to change color. People have observed it and calculated it. Even so. So guys, what I have tried to tell you guys is this. Is that while people out there are going to make a big to-do about Mr. Darwin, the thing I see about Mr. Darwin is a tragedy. That he threw away most of his life chasing after his theory of evolution, rather than believing the Bible. So many times people will believe what the scientists or what the textbooks say, rather than believing what the Lord says in His Word. And the tragedy also of that, guys, is that many times we've been taught this stuff, and we've never even attempted to see if it matches with the Word of God or not. So that's why I'm telling you guys, keep pounding this truth into your head, into your heart, and keep pounding these lies out of your life and out of your modus operandi. So, youth, I've tried to help give you some tools so you can stand against the lies that are being taught each and every day. Adults, we're trying to give you some tools to think about in the coming days. That whenever we encounter these people, they're going to tell us right quick that we can't believe this because it's just a fairy tale, something to make us feel good. But yet all our Bible does is prove what the evidence there says, that God says, is true. It's merely, guys, the battle and war of two worldviews. The creationist and the evolutionist both look at the same evidence. But the problem is, the evolutionist believes in scientists and man's authority. But you and I, as creationists, as Christians, we are to believe God's Word and God's authority. Of how He said everything came about like it did. Well, guys, I hope you got something out of this preachy, teachy message this morning. And with that said, let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. And maybe this morning you sit here and you say, man, I haven't heard anything like that. Or maybe you say, I've heard something like that, but it's been a while. Well, I hope that the truth of God's Word has seeped down inside of your heart, inside of your mind. And maybe you sit there and say, you know, preacher, I don't know this Jesus, this man of Calvary. I've never trusted Him as my Savior before. Well, if that's you, we want to introduce you to Jesus. Now, maybe you sit here and you say, you know, I want to join this church. I want to support this ministry this year by moving of letter or by statement or by baptism. If that's you or your decision, would you come this morning? Or maybe you just want to thank God for having heard truth today. For getting you up another day to serve Him. Anyone this morning, God speaking to your heart.